This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I don't want to in any way paint a picture that's pretty, because it isn't pretty. This is a tough part of the world. This is a tough country. Your friends and your associates are at risk, as you are. And I wish I could stand here and say that the incidents of violence were going to calm down between now and the elections. I wish I could stand here and say that the incidents of violence will calm down after the elections. I can't say that.
Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld speaking to U.S. troops in Mosul during a surprise Christmas Eve visit to Iraq. Mr. Rumsfeld's appearance came at the end of a grim week in that city, where an explosion in a military mess hall killed more than 20 people, most of them U.S. soldiers, and wounded many more. An investigation is proceeding. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Dan, thanks for being with us.
Oh, hi, Scott, and greetings of the season.
And also to you. There were reports on Friday that a suicide bomber was able to escape scrutiny because he was apparently dressed in an Iraqi National Guard uniform.
Right.
Not clear, certainly, as we speak, how that uniform may have been acquired. But what does that suggest to you about the readiness of Iraqis to take over security operations?
Well, this is clearly very bad news. Whoever it was who was wearing that National Guard uniform, he was able to make it through the screening process for the new Iraqi troops. And if these uniforms are falling into the hands of the insurgents, it raises the possibility that the Iraqi force that is supposed to make it possible to start planning the withdrawal of American forces in the near future, that it turns out that that force may be infiltrated by insurgents, and that spells much trouble.
And let's ask about Fallujah at the same time, because about 4,000 Iraqis were allowed to return to Fallujah on Friday to inspect their homes and businesses.
Yes.
Just on Thursday, three U.S. Marines were killed in Fallujah, and there was apparently a great amount of destruction in the city in the U.S. offensive last month to try and clear out the insurgency.
That's also quite dismaying. It appears that every time the American command announces that at last Fallujah has been subdued and now the residents can start going back to their homes, if those homes still exist, and then there's another outbreak of fighting with the insurgents, and it's not clear whether the insurgents have been hiding underground all this time or somehow made it their way back. But if Fallujah has to be fought for every week, that's also not very helpful.
Washington Post had a report on Friday that said that Secretary of State Colin Powell advised President Bush and Prime Minister Blair of Great Britain that more troops are needed in Iraq. Post says this happened in a top-secret meeting on November 12th. This was just 10 days after the U.S. presidential elections. 12 to 15,000 U.S. troops were sent to Iraq shortly thereafter. Was Secretary Powell's advice being heeded or not quite?
Well, not quite, because 12,000, I think, is a lot fewer than Secretary Powell had in mind. That was really a quite interesting meeting. Condoleezza Rice, apparently, was also present at it. And they had apparently a quite tough debate. And then, eventually, the Pentagon made its announcement about 12,000 troops being sent. And it may or may not be significant that on that very day, it was the day that Secretary Powell submitted his letter of resignation.
President Bush had a press conference this week, and he talked about a range of domestic issues, Social Security, federal budget, changes in the tax code, changes to immigration law. Did you divine anything new about his priorities for the second term?
Well, he put a lot of emphasis on a tough budget. Five times he said he was not going to negotiate with himself about one thing or another. That his latest favorite phrase is, I'm not going to negotiate with myself. And as you say, he talked of a tough budget, and he promised to do something about simplifying the tax code, and he promised to do something about immigration reform, and that was about it. He waited until after the press conference, for reasons known only to him, to announce that he was going right in this brand new Congress, which is coming in January, to resubmit the nomination of 20 judges who didn't make it to confirmation in the last Congress. And that suggests that he is really in no mood for a lot of compromising after his election victory, and that he's apparently not prepared to compromise on judges, because if he did want to compromise on judges, he wouldn't have given this announcement quite that way. Well, with a gain of four Republicans in the Senate, he apparently feels he can challenge a Democratic filibuster, so we're in for fireworks.
Let me ask you about what the president said about his relationship with Russian President Vladimir Putin and what Mr. Putin said at his end-of-the-year press conference in Moscow.
Which was a mirror image of it. I somehow think that Putin says, if he can have a year-end press conference, why can't I?
Start a new tradition immediately. Now, the president in the past, obviously, has spoken in behalf of Mr. Putin's character.
Yes, and now it is very strange. We're in a strange era where if it comes to the advancement of democracy, Putin is not doing so very well, right? He has announced that instead of elected judges, they will have appointed judges. The latest thing he has done is practically to renationalize some of the most important oil fields that Russia has. And in spite of all of that, he gives this press conference and he taunts President Bush by saying Bush is complaining about the election in Ukraine. Well, how are the elections in the United States? And he almost mentioned Florida and Ohio, but didn't quite do that. Yet in spite of that, he ends up saying that I like him, we have a partnership, and we're going to work together. And almost exactly the same thing has been done by Bush. Criticizes him on specific things, and then says, we get along very well together. This is a vitally important relationship.
Now, the U.S. and Russia do have a disagreement about the Ukrainian presidential elections. New elections will take place on Sunday, with Viktor Yanukovych and Viktor Yushchenko facing off again after last month's election was annulled by the Ukrainian Supreme Court. What do you see happening this time?
Well, all indications are that Yushchenko should win a very, very easy victory. Since the last election, which was considered to be a phony election, people have come forward in great numbers to say that they intend to vote for Yushchenko. So it looks as though he should win. What happens after that, I don't know.
This week, the American Civil Liberties Union released thousands of pages of internal FBI memos that detail cases of abuse of detainees at the Guantanamo Detention Center in Iraq and Afghanistan. Some of these documents go back to as far as 2002 and imply that people in the administration were aware of them. First, why have some of these charges taken so long to surface?
Because they didn't want it to come out. It's as simple as that. It only came out because the American Civil Liberties Union filed a suit in order to get them released under freedom of information, and they hated giving them out. Every time you get some of these things, these gets to be more and more brutal, and that this administration allow that to happen and would rather people didn't talk about it is really quite outrageous.
Anything to be tied to the confirmation hearings of Alberto Gonzalez to be the new Attorney General? He was, after all, the White House counsel who defined some of the limits of interrogation.
And who said the Geneva Conventions on treatment of prisoners of war he called quaint in a very famous memo. Will it have an effect? Well, Alan Spector is the new chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, a Republican, but rather a maverick Republican. I think you can count on the fact that this will get a thorough airing, whether it will have any effect on the confirmation as Attorney General. I would very much doubt that.
British Prime Minister Blair's one-day conference in London in March that's going to focus towards the rebuilding of a Palestinian state as a first step toward a peace process. Do you see this as a fruitful first step?
It is. A lot depends now on whom the Palestinians name. If Abbas, who is supposed to be the front runner, gets to be the new president of the Palestinian Authority, it looks as though we may be started on another round of peace process.
Thanks, Dan Shore.
Sure.